Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister, and each week I'm joined by Graham Nichols and Mark Bentham, both pastors of Christ Church, Haywards Heath. We recently had the pleasure of being joined by Chap Bettis as he shared with us some biblical wisdom on parenting. He is the author of Disciple Making Parent, but he's also relatively recently produced a book called Parenting with Patience. So today we're talking with Chap about anger in parenting. Why is anger a serious issue? Is all anger wrong? And how do we manage anger so as not to fall into sin? These are all real issues for parents. So let's get into it, and I'll catch you on the other side.
Hi, I'm Mark Bentham.
And I'm Graham Nichols.
And this is Ordinary.
And we have the return of a now famous guest who wrote a great book.
Up and down the nation now.
That's you actually, Mark, the famous guest.
Oh, okay.
We've also got another guest online as well. And that's Chap Bettis, who wrote The Disciple Making Parent, but also Parenting with Patience, a little booklet that, to be fair, I haven't looked at in detail. I have looked at The Disciple Making Parent in detail, but not this one. So we're going to talk a bit about that and talk about the issue of anger. So welcome back, Chap. It's great to have you on again.
Thanks for coming back. To be fair, Grant.
Well, thank you for having me back.
It's only just come out, hasn't it? This booklet or book or Bible study with some videos online, kind of stuff. It's literally just picked it up myself a couple of weeks, but I thought this is the kind of things that we need to be talking about, because this is one of those areas of parenting that is hidden, that probably is going on in lots of our homes, but actually we just need to have a honest, candid conversation and say, okay, guys, we're wrestling with this, we're struggling with this, because we get frustrated with our kids at times. So how do I respond in a godly way?
So, yeah, absolutely.
So it's about anger.
Well, I'll let
impatience.
Chap. I'll let Chap. What's it about?
Well, it ties in with what we talked about in our other interview, which is one of the most powerful influences on our children is modeling the gospel. So I think the hardest place, one of the hardest places to live out the gospel is in our home. So who knows how to poke my buttons, and who sees me when I'm tired, and who I just want to sit down and watch the game. When I come to church, oh, I'm going to be nice and loving, but then these little kids are running around and my wife. And so it's hard, I think, to live out the gospel at home. And then especially this issue with anger, and just true confessions, it was my issue. It is my issue. I've seen gospel growth over time, but yeah, it's a huge issue. And I think, like you said, it's hidden. We're embarrassed by it, and then a lot of times, we have the explosion, and then if we're the offender, we're thinking, okay, it's all good. And so life goes on, and my child got quiet so I could watch the game. And so we don't really see it as a big issue. So really, this Bible study, it's a 5-week video-driven Bible study, really represents the fruit of study, biblical study, for helping me overcome this issue. And so that's why I felt burdened to put it out there.
What are you thinking about what we might sometimes call benign anger? So is that why you character? Because I don't think, from flicking through it, you're talking about the kind of abusive anger that would lead to physical violence or terribly coercive, shouting and controlling in that way. Is it the kind of what we might call a kind of respectable anger that we then kind of forget about? Is that what you're kind of getting at? Where it was very strong feeling, but it expressed itself in words and actions, but not violence. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. And so in the very first video, I have a specific sort of caveat there to say, if there's physical violence, that actually, if you're on the receiving end, you have a responsibility. Matthew 18 tells you to go and get other people involved. So you don't have to submit to that. Often it's the wife. You don't have to submit to that at all. And so, and yet, what we're talking about is, Yeah, I like your word, respectable anger. Anger, my kids aren't going anywhere, and they were running around screaming, and it got everybody's attention. Or just, you know, there's anger served hot, and there's anger served cold. So then there can just be like, I'm going to give her the silent treatment for a couple of days, you know, until she apologizes. And so, definitely calling out and saying that abusive anger is wrong and needs the help of the whole community.
It's good just to clarify that in terms of it is that sense of anger that probably most of us have experienced. Well, probably all of us have experiences in that realm rather than this abusive. We're not saying that at all. And that's not what the book is aiming to address. And if you struggle with that, then you probably definitely need to be seeking help. Talk to one of us or your pastor if you're not part of Christchurch to get help with that, because that's this is not what this is seeking to tackle. But I guess it's worth it. Okay, so let's jump into it. Why do we get so angry and frustrated with, and why is it so serious? Because in one sense, is, you know, should I not be angry with my children and their disobedience?
Well,
two questions, right?
Yeah, I think if you look at the scriptures, I've summarized it by saying anger is your friend and your foe, or your foe and your friend. And we know that not all anger is sinful, because Jesus was angry and God is righteously angry. And then God commands us, in your anger, don't sin. So part of it, the issue is I don't think we understand this issue. I found Dr. David Paulson's definition really helpful. He said, anger is an active stance you take to oppose something you assess as important and wrong. It's an active stance you take to oppose something you assess as important and wrong. So if I see a man beating up a little girl and I just don't feel upset and angry, that says something about me. That's important and that's wrong. But having said that, we can often be wrong in our assessments. And so again, to quote from Dr. David Paulson, he says that the problem typically doesn't lie in what we want, but that we want it too much. So in the moment, it's not wrong that my child do their homework. They should do their homework. But in the moment, I don't want to patiently deal with that. I just want to yell and get it over with. So to me, it's trying to understand that idea of it is a foe to fight. And we should talk about that, because it is a deadly foe.
Where's the sin in it? I know it's not black and white in that sense, but where's the sin in the wanting it too much, or in the way we express what we want?
Well, I would probably say both. In the sense that I need to train my children to do their homework so that they turn it in on time. Yes, that's my job as a dad and a mom, and yet I'm surprised when they don't. Well, that's retraining my mind. But part of it, I think, what I struggled with, and I think often we struggle with, is that I would excuse my anger. And I do quote in the Bible study Aristotle, who was not a Christian, but it's very helpful. It has been very helpful for me to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way. And then he says, that's not within everybody's power. And I would say, that's not within anybody's power. That's what he's talking about, is the perfect sinlessness of Jesus. But in my anger, I can look and say, I got too angry. Maybe I overreacted. Or I should have held on to that and talked about that at a different time. So there's all sorts of aspects. And you just, one of the chapters we do is just on anger as your foe. And you just realize how big of an issue is. There are really two clusters of sin throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament. One is sexual sin and one is sins of anger. So, you know, Jesus says in Matthew 5, it's in the family tree of murder. You know, so that's just to realize in that moment, I actually wanted to kill my kids. Like that's my heart.
So that's the seriousness. So in the sense of that kind of explains it in terms of that even that sense of seed of anger, if I was to carry on down that path where I'm going is actually I want to kill my kids. That would be the trajectory if I didn't get control or God's grace wasn't at work in my life, both his. But I'm wondering in terms of, so you use the example of my kid doing their homework. So my child, I've asked them to do their homework. They seems like they're set up, but actually they're just not. Am I right to be angry at that point towards that sin? But where does it then merge into sin? Presumably there would we say that I'm never going to be perfectly right in my anger, but I'm right to be angry at that sin, the disobedience. But maybe actually there's something else going on, or how would you kind of work that through?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess part of me would say I can only do so much, sort of self-introspection in the sense that, like, just like when you preach or you teach, you're like, well, is there selfish motives in there? So to me, with that instance, of not doing their homework, I would say I'm feeling angry, upset. And then look and saying, okay, did I express that sinfully to my child in the moment, which I've done plenty, and how can this motivate me? And here's the friend part. How can this motivate me to deal with an issue? So we have an issue. My son is not doing his homework, and I need to figure out with my spouse, assuming I'm married, a calm way that there are consequences. There are consequences to this. And part of it, I call it the parenting paradox. We expect our children to obey because God commands it, but we should expect them to disobey because they're sinners. Yeah. So in a sense, it's like, well, I'm surprised they didn't do their homework. Well, you shouldn't be because they're sinful. What is the consequence of that? So, you know, a policeman goes out and doesn't get upset. He just hands you a ticket for you were speeding, and here's the ticket, and have a good day.
So, but what you're saying there is, in one sense, I should be upset, frustrated that they haven't done their homework, recognizing that they have disobeyed. But actually, even that sense of emotion of getting angry, I shouldn't be angry at that. I should be more objective, like the police officer. Or should they feel the sense of displeasure? But does the displeasure come through how I speak in terms of tone, manner? Or is the displeasure much more felt through the consequences? Or is it both?
Yeah, I think it's both, or at least, you know, that's how I tried to grow. Ephesians talks about Ephesians 4, in your anger, don't sin. So to me, I could picture a situation like, you know, you're saying, what? You didn't do your homework? That really, really upsets me right now. I'm gonna go get control of myself, and then we need to figure out a consequence for this so that this doesn't happen again. And then after I'm calmed down, I can cast a vision for, you know, being faithful in the little things. This is part of the godly life. This makes you successful in life, all sorts of ways that I can cast a positive vision. But to me, that I have, in my anger at that moment, I have not sinned. So they know I was upset, and they know that they did something wrong, but it hasn't spilled over. It hasn't gone, you're grounded for life, that I then have to break my word. It's going to motivate me. One more thing. It's going to motivate me to say to my wife, this is the third time this has happened. We have got to come up with a consequence. So that's, to me, that's anger is my friend to say, we have an issue. Let's attack. We've got to attack this problem.
And I think that's really helpful, because actually I think part of the, sometimes we see the disobedience, but we feel that actually we mustn't be angry, you know, actually, because, you know, and therefore we kind of hide away from the emotion of anger, which then might either makes me indifferent, I just become nonplussed by it, or I just don't act appropriately, or they don't feel the displeasure at it. But actually, I think it really helps, just this careful idea that actually it is both, but actually just stepping away without exploding, or a volley of words, and words actually that are just not necessarily true in the anger, or in the heat of it, but actually projecting a godly response of anger. There is a displeasure. God is angry at sin. Actually, you need to feel that there is a displeasure here, but at the same time, not kind of sinning. And I think that's just helpful, because I think, especially the UK, we're stoic, we're stiff upper lipped, we kind of hide emotion, so we feel like we shouldn't ever be angry because that would be sinful. But actually, how we do that in a wise way and a godly response, I think is helpful. Yeah, that's really,
yeah. To preface it by saying, I confess, lots of times of being too angry as a parent, or angry in a sinful way as a parent, and still sometimes now. So I'm not saying that I've got this sorted. I really appreciate what you said about expressing emotion, because I don't think it's helpful to be clinical about it, to be so suppressed that you go in, you discover they're not doing what you wanted, or they're doing something that you definitely didn't want them to do, and you say in a completely calm, clinical voice, okay, there'll be consequences. This is what they are, and you hand them a ticket. I think that you have to express emotion, sometimes in just saying, I'm very upset, but sometimes in a degree of emotion in the voice. But it's like, not just with children, it's with other relatives, and particularly with your spouse. There can be a way of communicating that is reasonable, and there can be a way that's just sinful, because you've escalated, you've raised your voice to a level that is not reasonable. You've started to generalize. You always do that. This is why I'm so sick of you, because you're always leaving a whole complete mess in your bedroom and you don't care about us. So that's when you've kind of gone off the rails. I think going in and raising your voice on a particular issue, expressing, I am very upset by this. I don't think you can say, I'm very upset by this, in a completely sort of laid back, sitting by the beach kind of way. I think you have to say it in a way that you stretch your body out and you say it. But I think it's having that control in that. Yeah, we're all kind of learning through that. But yeah, I think it's important to express. And my observation of families is that there are those that express too much, and there's a constant sort of arguments going on. But I think there's the other extreme of those who suppress, and then you get just occasional but very damaging explosions where something has built up. So just something else I wanted to say was just the encouragement on small issues that you think, oh, I'll just leave it. They leave something out. They fail to do something you asked them to do. They fail to wash up when you were leaving early and you said, can you just do the dishes before you go to school or whatever, and they don't. You can leave all those things, then it suddenly builds up to something bigger, and then you explode, or you just walk around with just anger inside you. So I think dealing with things little by little as well. Sorry for that little aside.
No. Thank you.
Well, and I think that I agree 100% with what you just said. I think our tribe, probably we would be in the same kind of theological tribe, and a lot of it is I need to work on myself. And I agree, I 100%, yes, we do need to work on ourselves. But having said that, I also believe that part of this is to prompt us to attack not the person, but the problem. And to say, we have a problem. The problem is, this is the third time he hasn't done his homework. But then we're going to solve this problem. And the problem, so we need to come up with a consequence. Or he's not doing the chores. She's not doing the chores that we ask. And then depending on the age, older child, you're not doing this. We need to come up with a consequence. What are we going to do? Or with a smaller child, you come up, with a consequence.
Yeah. What do you, do you find any resistance? We do sometimes in consequences, in that parents don't want to deny their children any experience. So if the consequence is you can't go to your friend's house, you can't go to that party, we've now cancelled our trip to Legoland. Those are pretty big consequences. Do you have a view about that? About how people are afraid to do that, or do you have a view that consequences should be short and sharp and very immediate? Just any observations on consequences?
Well, I in my mind, I'm thinking. So one of the things that my wife and I did that I really saved our marriage, helped us, was we would go out on regular coffee dates and really just kind of talk about how's the family doing. And if you think about it, elders in a church have regular elder meetings. Mm. So why don't the shepherds of a home have regular meetings? And that gives a time for to pull dad in to say, how I'm supposed to be leading this family. Let me see how things are going. And that gives mom a chance, assuming you've got a mom and a dad, a chance to talk with him about the problems. And then out of that should come some sort of plan, some sort of issues. What are we facing? Having said that, that plan, those consequences, the character chart, we called it, that is predicated on a willingness to A, pull the trigger and bring those consequences. But then also, I think an understanding or a belief that it's okay. And this goes about the earlier podcast we did and the chapter on discipline, to say one of the things I'm to do as a parent is to teach my child to live underneath my authority. And they're going to mess up because they're children. Mm. But that will involve some sort of pain. And Hebrews 12 says God, the loving Father, does that for us, His children. He brings pain into our life to discipline us. And so just the fact that it is okay to do that. Here in the States, we're often influenced, I would call it grace-based or gospel parenting, which I love the gospel. But you know, the law came before the gospel. And I think little kids especially, you know, need that, to know that there are consequences. And we're helping them, because what you sow, you'll reap. That's the way the world works. And God deals with us that way as well.
And yet, in putting those consequences, kind of obviously not doing so when we're angry, but recognizing that anger you're talking about is a friend and a foe. And now, if I'm wrestling with anger, just conscious of time, because I think it's helpful, just in terms of what are the kind of steps that you would kind of talk to, you know, say to a parent who is wrestling with anger? You know, you recognize the frame, we recognize it's a foe, we recognize it's saying something, put into consequences. Are there other things that I need to be thinking about, talking about, wrestling with?
I think you can, if it's you, not your spouse, then you're mistrustful enough of yourself where you can listen to that spouse to say you're raising your voice, you're getting out of control, go get control. Because you realize, because you own, this is a, you know, Ed Welch said, to be angry is to destroy. And I can be destroying my child's peace in this moment. And so I'm willing to listen to my spouse and have self-control. So I think that's one thing. But then to say what, to abstract out and say, what was the issue in the moment? And let's come up, we need to come up with a plan for that. To me, parents are often rushed onto the next thing, and we're not abstracting out to say, you know what, we're getting angry. You know, we're getting angry going to church. We're not, we don't have the clothes out. We're rushing around. It's my one morning to sleep in. And so we're really upset. And then we walk into church and everybody smiles. How are you doing? At least that's the way it is over here. How are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, that's the smile. We just had our argument, but we're smiling now. No. Okay. So what is that issue? And we're going to attack that. We're going to put the clothes out. We're going to give a treat if we're ready early. Just what are some strategies? So those would be, I think, the two things to say. You know, this is, I'm willing to listen to my spouse. I think it's Paul Tripp says, my view of myself is about as accurate as a funhouse mirror. So that I'm going to actually listen to that. And then we're going to seek to work on some plans.
I think, it comes out in a lot of other books. It may even be one of yours. But the idea of the God that's being threatened when you get angry is sometimes comfort, sometimes control, sometimes kind of allegiance or affirmation that you want to be affirmed. So sometimes it is worth self-reflection and spouse reflection on saying, okay, so in principle, it was bad that what they did, but why were you particularly angry? It was because, like your illustration earlier, they were interrupting you watching the ball game. And So really why you were angry was not because they were misbehaving, because if you were in another room and they were misbehaving for your wife, you'd have been quite happy. You'd have just let it go. But because it was interrupting your life and your comfort, that was why you were doubly angry. And that, you know, I know that's been true in my life. That although I'm pretending it's righteous anger, it's just inconvenience anger. Or I'm angry because... not because I want them to be obedient children, but I just want them to do what I tell them. I don't care if they're obedient for anyone else. I just want them to be obedient to me. And that's where it's the sin.
Well, I was just going to say, how would you address that? Because that's slightly different to getting angry at the child's misbehavior. It's actually much more reflecting on my own idols, as it were.
I guess it explains why you're angry disproportionately
absolutely.
With their behavior.
But it could be that they've not done anything wrong. I'm just irritated. Yeah.
Or they could... be doing something wrong and you overreacted. And so, I talk about that really on the second chapter, has to do with getting, the anger as the foes. And I have an anger journal where you're actually asking you to reflect, on what were the rights. And it's used by CCEF, and there's, a list of rights in the back, which is exactly what you're talking about. In that moment, I have a right, and you can start naming them. I have a right to comfort. I have a right to obedient children. I have a right to relax. You just go down those. And part of us growing in Christ likeness is becoming, the reason I entitled it Parenting with Patience, is becoming more patient. We've spent the first part of this podcast talking about the anger as friend, but we really need to wrestle with that anger as foe and realize, First Peter says that when he was reviled, talking about Jesus, he did not revile in return. And that's the place to get at as a parent, is when we can have that misbehavior and say, okay, I need to deal with this, and yet I'm going to be Christ-like and patient at that time, patient in moving forward.
So it looks really good material. Do you want to just repeat what the booklet is called, and then chat, perhaps you could tell us where we can get some of the video materials. So the book is called, Mark?
Parenting with Patience, and that is available. I got it through Amazon.
Okay.
There are probably other good book
places.
Companies in the UK,
sure.
But Amazon does have it at this current time.
And what about the video materials, chat? Where can one get hold of those?
Yeah, Parenting with Patience is available from Amazon in book format. And then during this launch period for 2020, because it just came out, we're actually giving away the videos for free. The videos are online streaming, so think Netflix or Amazon or something like that. So if you will send your receipt, purchase your book, send your receipt, and to my administrator, Melanie, at admin@theapollosproject.com. Just send her the receipt, and we'll send you a coupon code, and you can get the videos, the 5-week, 10 videos for absolutely free.
How long do the videos last each?
The videos last about 12, 13 minutes. So a church could do it as a 5-week study. The Parenting with Patience has a place for you to take notes, and then it's got 5 devotionals for that week. Or if you want to expand it to 10 weeks, you can do that.
I do have a feeling that we'll be doing that at Christchurch in the coming year. I'm already planning ahead.
We're planning the autumn.
Yeah, we're now planning the autumn. We can see where it's going. Chap, thanks so much for being on the podcast again. We really appreciate it. It's been really helpful just to talk about this area that is so important in life parenting, but also just wrestling with anger and frustration with parenting and trying to be Christ-like and patient. So we really appreciate you coming on.
If any of you have got questions or comments about parenting or any other topic we've been covering in ordinary@cchh.org.uk with your questions and comments. Thanks to those of you who've put in suggestions so far this year.
And let's not forget Chap's website, Apollos, and
ApollosProject.com, and the podcast is The Disciple Making Parent.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, Chap. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Ordinary. We hope you enjoyed it. A big thanks to Chap for joining us for these two episodes. It's been great to speak to him. And come back next week for another episode. We're going to be talking about evolution. See you next time.